This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
We are into hour number two of the program. Always helps to turn your microphone on. That's rule number one of radio. Welcome back in. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock tonight. Once we get done here, we've got the Gas House Gang. Today's program features Kevin Wheeler and myself, so we'll have you from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. Cardinals baseball, they lose earlier today. They give up 12 runs on 13 hits. They end up losing by a 12-5 score. Eric Fetty, he got the start. His line does not look great. 4 innings, 6 runs, 7 hits, 3 home runs that Fetty gives up today. Again, spring training, more often than not, when you have situations like those, it's a guy trying to work on some things more than anything else. I always kind of give a free pass to guys who have an established track record. Although, to be fair, Eric Fetty doesn't have that much of an established track record, right? Like, last year he was pretty good. And the underlying stuff would tell you that he was pretty good last year. Like, the numbers were legit. But you also look at who he was prior in his career before he went and pitched overseas, where all those years in Washington where he was just okay, and then he bet on himself. He came back, was really good with the White Sox last year before getting traded over to the Cardinals, and was pretty good with the Cardinals as well. He doesn't get the credit that he deserves for what he did with the Cardinals. Had a little bit of a slow start to his time with St. Louis last year, but did eventually come around and was pretty good with the Cardinals last year. So, again, I'm not overly concerned about anything. I am a little bit concerned when it comes to Andre Pallante. And there was a report here recently that it came from Katie Wu, and I trust everything that Katie writes. She talked through what the rotation is going to look like and basically said that Gray and Fetty have their spots. Also said that Michaelis and Matz have their spots, and that the final spot actually comes down to Andre Pallante versus Michael McGreevy. And I read that, and so I'm a little bit torn on this because from a surface level, I feel like Andre Pallante should just be penciled in. That he did enough last year that he deserves to have that job, essentially be that number three starter. I will say this, however, some of the numbers that we are seeing right now in terms of his velocity during spring are a little bit concerning. And this could still just be a case of he's still kind of rounding himself into form, that this is not a that there's nothing to be worried about at this point. He's only appeared in 3 spring training games, so no reason to, like, again, be overly concerned about him. And his last time out, he was okay against the Yankees, gave up 4 runs in 4 innings, but there were some okay things there. I just, you look at some of the numbers on where he is at in throwing his fastball, and you look at his 4-seamer topping out at 94, sitting more 90, 92. And that's a little bit concerning when you consider where he was at last season, because, like, he's never going to be a guy who's throwing the living, you know what, out of the ball. Like, I get that. That is that there's no way around that. Obviously he is who he is, but at the same time, when you look at where his fastball has sat previously and where it's at right now, you kind of try to figure out what's going on. That being said, like, I'm looking at one of his games from last year where he topped out at 95 and was sitting more 93-ish. So that's only about a 1 mile per hour difference. So if that's all the difference is, that's not a huge thing, and that's something that probably kind of fixes itself before spring gets done. But I know a lot of people have been taking note of the velo from Andre Pallante, and maybe that's part of why Katie had in the report that it's going to come down to Pallante and McGreevy. Maybe at this point in time, they feel like they've kind of seen enough from everybody, and they know where folks are going to go. The bottom line on this, and we talked about this with Will Leach last hour, you know, Miles Michaelis is going to have a spot in the rotation until, if he really struggles, I think at that point they just cut bait. But I don't think it makes much sense to kind of futz around with Michaelis and try to put him in the bullpen. I don't think it doesn't make sense now to try to cut bait with him before the season even starts, because he's tried to work on some things and he does have a track record going back a couple years that maybe he's able to regain some of that form. He's spoken openly about throwing less strikes and trying to, you know, especially throwing less middle type strikes. That's something that has really, really gotten him before. You know, Steven Matz has looked good in spring. And Steven Matz, if healthy, has the opportunity to be a pretty solid pitcher. I think, you know, we lump Michaelis and Matz into the discussion way too often, basically saying they're in the same spots. They're not. Steven Matz has been a mostly effective pitcher throughout his major league career. There's been some moments where he hasn't been. You think about 2 years ago, before he got put in the bullpen, he was really struggling at that moment. He went to the bullpen, worked on some things, came back out as a starter, and that when he came back as a starter, that was probably his best run as a Cardinal. But generally speaking, when you look at Steven Matz over his career, he's been a pretty solid pitcher. He's not a top of the rotation guy, but he's been a solid guy that you put in the rotation. The only question is health. For Michaelis, he has not pitched well the last couple of years. He's pitched to a 5+ ERA. He just hasn't been good. He's been one of the statistically worst pitchers in all of Major League Baseball from a starting standpoint over the last couple of years. So I think you give each of them the opportunity to be in the rotation for different reasons. For Matz, to see whether or not he can stay healthy, because if he can stay healthy, you got a legit dude there. For Michaelis, it's about have these changes that he's put in place resulted in him being more like who he was 3 years ago and beyond. Those are legitimate questions that you want answered for both of them. So I understand where the Cardinals are kind of hell-bent on having those guys in the rotation. I get it. But I don't like the idea of Andre Pallante not having a spot in the rotation if he gets beat out by Michael McGreevy. At the same time, I don't like the idea of Michael McGreevy not having a spot in the rotation when you consider he's done everything that he needs to do to be given that runway at the big league level. And I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday. I still think there's a possibility the Cardinals pull off a trade before the end of spring and move a starting pitcher if, it's a big if, but if they stay healthy and you're a few days out from the start of the season, it would not shock me if they end up moving a starter. And starters are going down right and left across Major League Baseball. So Tony Gonsolin from the Dodgers today, he's not going to be available at the start of the season. So I think it's May who's going to be their fifth starter in law. And that's a perfectly good guy to be able to insert there into the fifth spot. But there's still a couple weeks left in spring. Let's wait and see what happens with this rotation for the Cardinals and whether or not they do walk out of Jupiter fully healthy. When we come back, Jacob Sersosimo is set to join us. We'll talk Cardinals baseball with him, a few other things as well. That's all up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. Some of the comments from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol will be coming up in our next segment. But right now, we're very happy to welcome back onto the program. You see him on Channel 4, First Alert 4. He is Jacob Sersosimo, and he joins us right now. Jacob, always appreciate taking some time. How are you?
Good. How are you, Matt?
Doing all right. All right, I got to start with this. Because we got a text message. I'm guessing maybe it's from one of your Channel 4 colleagues. I don't know. I don't know the phone number, but I'll start with this and we'll go from here. I was requested to ask you why you have been wearing a raincoat around the newsroom today.
I was nervous. This is what you were talking about. Actually, we got these Channel 4 raincoats, and I haven't had to wear it in a really long time, and I usually leave it at work. Well, I brought it home like 3 months ago. And today, as I was going out the door, I looked outside and I thought, well, maybe it's not as warm outside as I think it is. And it's not just warm enough for just a polo, but not cold enough for an actual coat. Mm. So then I was like, well, I've been meaning to bring this back to work anyway. Why don't I just wear it to work? And then when I got to work, I wore it for the next like 4 hours.
Okay.
So I got a few comments on it today, yes. But that was the thought behind it. But now it's back at work, so I don't have to wear it back to work anymore.
Do you have a guess on which colleague ratted you out via our text line?
I would have to guess. Probably like David Amelotti,
okay,
from our Investigates team,
yeah,
or one of our photographers, Noah, one of them. They sit right next to us in the sports department. Investigates sits right next to each other. So we had some healthy banter all day about this red raincoat that I was wearing on a super nice day with no clouds.
Do either of them have a 309 area code in their phone number?
Oh, well, David's from here. So I don't think so. Maybe Noah. I'm not really sure.
All right. Well,
I'll
there you
check
go.
When I get back, though.
Yeah. Take a look at your phone later on and see if there's a 309, and then you can figure it out for sure on who that who might be sending in a text message. I threw this question out to listeners earlier. I'll throw it to you. Spring training, a little bit more than a month in, couple weeks left. Do you feel better, worse, or the same about the Cardinals right now compared to when spring training was first getting started?
I think I feel about the same. I think I came into this season with maybe the impression that this team kind of doesn't have the same pressure that it did last year because of how transparent the front office was in that end of the year press conference that they had last year. And going into spring training, it's a youth movement. They want to see what they can get out of their guys, and they want to go from there. And I think that's what I expected going into spring training, and I feel like that's where we're at. Now, the center field battle, I think, is heating up, which I think is interesting. But I'm not sure. I have weird feelings about spring training just because I know that guys are working on things. So I don't really look into it too terribly much. Like, Eric Fetty had a bad day today, but, like, how far do we really look into that? And I think there's things he's probably working on that one or two people know that he's working on, and that's not necessarily a proper representation of how he's doing. I'm not saying that's what happened to Eric Fetty today, but I'm just saying that's kind of what happened at spring training. So I think I'm probably still exactly where I'm at with spring training. I'd love to be 2 weeks into the season to see if that changes in my mind.
Yeah, and we're only a month away from being at that point of the year. So before we know it, these games are going to matter. What's the story? Like, is there a certain player, a certain storyline, or something that you've been especially intrigued by through spring?
I think just the center field. Yeah. I don't want to call it conflict, but competition. It's a healthy competition that I think the Cards have put themselves in, which I think, as you know, good teams have a lot of competition. And I think what's the most intriguing thing about this center field competition is how different all these guys are. Obviously, Michael Fiani can catch every ball that's hit into the green in the outfield. And then you look at, you know, Lars Nubar, a little bit more of an overall player, and then the young guy in Victor Scott, the second. And how far do you want to go into this youth movement? I think it's extremely fascinating what they are going to end up doing in center field. And like I said earlier, I don't look too much into kind of what they're doing on a day-to-day basis until we get really, really close to the season and decisions actually have to be made. But obviously the injury to Jordan Walker depends on when he comes back and how he comes back and what they're going to do at that center field spot.
I also think it's interesting how it impacts the roster, because if you go with Victor Scott in center field, or even Lars Nootbaar for that matter, or if you go with Victor Scott in center field, you can have Michael Ciani still on the roster as your fourth outfielder. But if you go with Ciani, or if Nootbaar ends up being the everyday outfielder there, you don't keep Scott on the roster. You send him to AAA, and then all of a sudden there's a spot open for somebody else. So there are other dominoes that get pushed down as a result of who they choose in center field.
Yeah, and I talked to Katie Wu about this on our air last week. We have her on every once in a while. And she's also on The Fight on Matrix Midwest with Randy every week. But talking to her about just the weird domino effect that a center field position has, and you nailed it. You look at Nolan Gorman, and that's a guy that they want to get more reps in. And since Arenado is still on the team, where does Gorman get those reps in? Well, the outfield has a huge trickle-down effect on what happens moving forward with those guys. And I think Nolan Gorman is the perfect person to look at when you're looking at the Cardinals roster on where he goes and what he does. And obviously Victor Scott the second, that's huge on where he ends up being. So I think these are really good conversations to have and really interesting conversations to have. But a three-person battle is, I think, unique. Usually you think, oh, it's this person or this person, but a three-person battle is unique. And then you put on top of that, whatever happens there has a huge trickle-down effect of all these other things that can happen on the roster. When you're looking at a youth movement that they're trying to have and youth players getting at-bats, and some of those might not because of what they do.
A couple of things for you before we let you go. City SC, they had opportunities in the first two games, and they just did not score. And then this past weekend, it looked like they were going to go down by a goal twice, and Berkey goes out there and makes incredible saves. And then all of a sudden, they kind of find themselves, and they score three goals. We'll see what happens moving forward, but it felt like maybe they found something or something clicked when they went on that three-goal spurt this past weekend.
Yeah, I think they found through the first two matches, yeah, their defense is really good. And that's what everybody thought they were going to have, and that's exactly what they do have. They have a really good defense under Olaf Melberg, and that's literally no surprise to anybody because of the type of player he was and the system he runs. They were very upfront with what kind of defense they wanted to play. On the flip side of that, the big question mark was the offense. And through the first two games, their offense was not terribly existent. in the first game a little bit, yes, in the second game, not really at all. Then you look at the third game, and I talked to Taylor Twellman last week on Channel 4, and he was like, they have to go for it. These guys up front, and it starts on the back, their defense is really good, and there's no question about that. They just need to go for it on offense, and I think that's exactly what you saw. Maybe in the first 2 weeks, we maybe saw a little bit of, you know, obviously a defensive first mentality, but that's not turning into any offense on the other end at all. But when you look at what they did on Sunday, they started to turn that into points on the offensive side. And I think it's a sign this team is starting to understand how they can have really good defense and how to turn that defense into really good offense as well.
The other major story here over the last few days, and just, I mean, it was so much fun to watch SIUE go out there and win the OVC and get an NCAA tournament bid. And, you know, those of us who know Coach Brony a little bit kind of know his personality, but now it's been shown out to a much larger percentage of people. Of all the sports stories we've had recently, if that's not at the top, that certainly is near the top.
I don't know how you cannot smile thinking about what SIUE did and what they've done. It's kind of funny you talk about Brony's personality. When you look at Coach Brony's, you know, really bright personality, and he's out there and he's fun and he's a really, really good coach that coaches a good team. Then you look at his best player who broke the record for the most points in SIUE history. And Rayshon Taylor's from Collinsville, Illinois, and he's quiet to himself. He plays really good ball and he's all ball. So sometimes opposites attract, and I think they've sparked the perfect fire there in Edwardsville with those two. Brony's a great coach. He runs a great program out there. And talking to him in January when I did a story on Rayshon Taylor, just seeing how he gets those guys to buy in, you could feel there was something special there, but you still just don't know if they can beat SEMO, because SEMO was such a good team all season long. And they go down to Evansville and they beat them. It's such a good story, and it was really fun to watch, like, follow that journey. And even as they get into the NCAA tournament here, I think it's going to be one of the best stories to follow and see how they do. But, yeah, you can't do anything but love what they're doing in Edwardsville with that Cougars team, and especially what Brony's brought to that squad in that city.
Yeah, really, really cool. He is Jacob Sarasimo, First Alert 4. Going to be doing some the station will have some Cardinals games this year, which is really cool. Obviously, they've done some Blues stuff. So Matrix Midwest, their sister station, doing incredible things as well. Jacob, always appreciate your time. We'll talk again down the line.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. See you at the baseball park here soon.
Yeah, very, very soon. That's Jacob Sarasimo. Up next, we'll hear some of what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today here on KMOX. It's a Great Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening, and then you get more of me just with Kevin Wheeler as well, as we've got the Gas House Gang rolling your way from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock this evening. I thought it was a really good show today. Of course, it airs live on the KMOX social media channels at 12 noon, and then we repurpose it as a radio show later in the evening at 8 o'clock. Got into a lot of interesting things, so make sure to be tuned in for that tonight, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock right here on KMOX. Time for our daily Fun with Audio. Let's hear what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today in Jupiter, Florida, as Cardinals camp does roll on. Let's start with how we start just about every one of these here. Recently, he gave a health update on Cardinals outfielder Jordan Walker.
He's out there working with the outfielders. I was up top with some meetings, and I saw him doing the running, and it looked like he was making progress. That's the last box you want to check prior to him doing some more cutting.
So that sounds like really every message that we have heard about Walker and his injury since the imaging came back, it has continued to be positive. So that is certainly good to hear. This is the time of spring. Well, really from the first game in spring, but certainly right now, you're looking at the lineups and you're looking at this guy's batting here and this guy's batting there. What does that mean for the regular season? So Ollie was asked today whether or not they're at a point yet in spring where you can take something away from how the lineups are being built on an everyday basis, or if it's still about, you know, putting guys in so they can get their work in and stay on their rotations and everything. And Ollie pretty much said that, you know, it's not yet at a point in spring where lineups are drawn out to look like how they're going to look during the regular season.
Not really. Not yet. No. As we get closer, yes. But this week, it's still on the rotation of making sure our catchers get 7, then they'll get 9, then we'll get them back-to-back, and keeping that rotation, doesn't matter, kind of what the rest of the field looks like. Newt will aim at playing 2 to 3 in a row. So that'll put him on a different rotation than he's been on. So it'll still be mixed and matched based on just making sure we're getting guys to check the boxes that we need prior to getting out of here.
So a big point of discussion, and we'll discuss it more on the Gas House Gang during the 8 o'clock hour. It's been a big point of discussion here recently on the Gas House Gang is who should bat leadoff, because Mason Wynn was in the leadoff spot last year a lot, and he's batted leadoff a lot here in spring training. Ollie was asked how he evaluates who should hit leadoff.
We got some guys behind that drive in runs, so ability to get on base is key for those first two spots.
So Ollie mentioned on base percentage in that, and that is not one of Mason Wynn's big strengths. He's not a super on base guy. There are other players who are much better when it comes to on base percentage. Brendan Donovan, elite at getting on base. Lars Nootbaar, very good at getting on base. So a lot, when you listen to the Gas House Gang, Kevin Wheeler very strongly feels this way. I generally agree with him, maybe not quite as fervently as he does, but I would like to see Brendan Donovan in the leadoff spot. I think it makes a lot of sense to have him in that spot. Ollie was asked about that by Derek Gould and essentially talked through, you know, the different options on the roster when it comes to who should be leading off.
I think there's different versions of it that you can make an argument for any of it. And as we get closer, we'll do exactly that. We'll get in a room with all the staff and argue. That's the fun part.
And it'll change by April.
So that's why I don't place a ton on it, because I think we make a big deal of it at this point in camp every year, and you're supposed to, like, what's the lineup gonna look like? Who's gonna hit first? Who's your point? Like, I get it. But having options and staying fluid is a good thing.
You know, another thing that we're spending a lot of time talking about is the catching position, because we view it as a competition between Pedro Pajes and Ivan Herrera on who should be the frontline catcher. And we feel like that there's probably going to be somebody who basically wins the job and starts more often than the other. Interestingly enough, for Marmol, he's not really viewing this catcher's competition as a competition for that true number one spot.
I don't think it's a matter of pulling ahead. They both bring something different to the table. They're both working on different things that'll give them plenty of at-bats this year. So, yeah, that's not the way I'm looking at it at the moment.
Let's get into some details on a few different individuals. You know, one player who really impressed me when I was down in spring, and John Mozeliak specifically mentioned him when he was on Sports on a Sunday Morning with Kevin Wheeler this past weekend, was Jose Barrero. He's done a nice job defensively, can play shortstop, so he can be that guy on the roster who can spell Mason Wynn when you need to give him that day. So far through 14 Grapefruit League games, he's hitting .286. He has a .994 OPS with two home runs and a double in there as well. Just overall, he's been impressive, and Marm will talk through what he has seen from Barrero.
I like his overall athleticism. I like the versatility of his defense at basically any position. He's super comfortable at short and center, which is awesome in a utility guy. He's adopted the mindset over the years of hitting homers, and that's what we are looking to have an impact on, is shorter to the ball, line drive stroke, use the whole field, take what the game's given you. And at times, I think Brownie puts it perfectly when he says home runs are thrown, not hit. He's got enough power that guys make mistakes, the ball will go a long ways, but if we're aiming to do that every time, I think we leave a lot on the table. He's done a better job of shortening up and doing that, and the better he gets at that, the more valuable he's going to be to our big league club.
Lars Nootbaar is another guy who's having a nice spring. He's hitting .286. He's got an .800 OPS. He has played so far 10 games, and Marmol really is expecting a really, really good season this year from Nootbaar.
It could be special because he's worked hard at it. And when you look at his batted ball profile, it's at the top of the league in a lot of categories. His swing decisions are good. You put those together and you have a solid player. He's worked hard at making sure he's ready for this season, and I'm excited to see it.
The Cardinals lost to Miami today by a 12-5 score, and we did see some pitchers specifically who are vying for spots in the bullpen. Gordon Graceffo went one inning. He allowed a couple runs. Rodery Munoz, who I've been impressed with so far in spring, he allowed a couple runs in one inning of work. Nick Anderson got in there. He threw a scoreless inning. But Marmol did say, when it comes to the guys who are vying for spots in the bullpen, what that evaluation process looks like.
At this point, effectiveness, right? Like, you want to see them get outs and do what they do, whether they're high ground ball guys, then keep them on the ground. If they're swing and miss guys, miss some bats. Right, so we're at that point in camp where performance matters, and we want to make sure that they are the best piece to help us move this thing forward.
Eric Fetty made the start. The numbers don't look good for Fetty today. He went four innings, allowing six runs on seven hits. He allowed three home runs. Marmol said what he has really seen and kind of evaluated the way Fetty is going through his spring.
He's more of a guy, like, when you look at his spring, he is totally comfortable working on things he knows he needs to connect with, regardless of result. And I would like the dialogue between him and Dusty. Sometimes I'll just sit close and listen to kind of how he's thinking through a certain inning. And I mean, he can describe a certain pitch or how he's connecting with it, or the sinker's not doing even remotely close to what he wants it to do in a certain outing, and then making an adjustment to it. So not looking for anything other than that communication to continue and for him to leave camp feeling good about how the ball's coming out of his hand.
That's Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol. Again, as we have some fun with audio and hear some of the things that he's talking through today, some of the main storylines and narratives coming out of Cardinals camp. We will take a break. We will come back, and then we're going to wrap up this edition of the program. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on your home for the Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Back at it one final time for a Graybar Sports Open Line for today. We are going to wrap things up, and then we're going to get to the Gas House Gang. That's going to be coming up tonight from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock here on KMOX. Of course, you can always watch that or listen to it live on the various KMOX social media channels, always available as a podcast as well. Speaking of podcasts, if you ever miss anything here on Sports Open Line, you can always find the Sports Open Line podcast as well. So lots of ways to get connected with us. Wanted to just a couple things before we get out here. First off, you heard a lot about this yesterday on the station. It was a really, we didn't talk about it as much as we should have here on Sports Open Line. We only had an hour yesterday, so tried to get through a bunch of things, but yesterday had the big announcement that KMOX is going to be adding a full signal FM station here very, very soon. It is going to go on the air on March 24th. So we're talking less than 2 weeks from now. That's two Mondays from now. We are also going to be on 104.1 FM. So if you want to get that locked into your presets on your car and everything now, you can go ahead and do that. But really excited. You know, if you're like me, maybe you listen to some music stations on FM and then you switch over to AM to listen to KMOX. You don't have to worry about that anymore. You know, really, you just should be listening to KMOX all the time. But 104.1 FM is where we are going to be, in addition to 1120. I know there's a lot of people outside of the St. Louis metro area who listen on the AM signal on 1120. I tell the story all the time. One of my favorite things to be able to do was when I was broadcasting like minor league baseball in Colorado Springs, was the game would get over, and if the Cardinals were playing on a West Coast trip, you know, I'd always tune in to 1120 on my drive home. And just, you know, working in Iowa, same thing. No matter where I've worked, I've always been able to listen to KMOX late at night. So that's one of the great things about the 1120 signal. But for those of you who are in St. Louis, you're going to get that crystal clear FM signal, 104.1 FM, effective March 24th. So that's going to be in place before the Cardinal season begins. Now, a little kind of public service announcement for you. We do have an FM signal that you might be listening to right now, 98.7 FM. That's what we call a translator. It's not a very strong signal. Basically, it covers kind of city of St. Louis, like actual city, and doesn't reach out beyond that. If you are listening via 98.7 FM, it is going to be flipping, and it's going to be flipping to Hot 98.7, which is going to be a music station. So there is going to be a period of time where 98.7 is going to be playing music, and we're not yet on the 104.1 FM signal. So if you are somebody who religiously listens to us on 98.7, there's going to be like a week and a half here where there's not going to be that FM option for you. Of course, you can switch over to 1120 AM if you've got HD radio, 102.5 HD2, also the Odyssey app. So don't freak out if you turn on 98.7 and you hear music. Instead, just wait it out or do whatever you're going to do. But 104.1 will be coming very, very soon after that on March 24th. So very excited about that. Also wanted to mention, you know, we are your home for St. Louis University Billikens basketball. They are getting set for the A-10 tournament. They are going to play their first game of the conference tournament against either Richmond or Davidson. That's going to be coming up on Thursday. Those two teams, Richmond and Davidson, are going to match up tomorrow. And then the winner of that game will go on to play SLU coming up Thursday afternoon. That's going to be a 1 o'clock tip on Thursday. So 12:45 is when our pregame coverage is going to be getting underway. And that's something that you can definitely be tuned into. And hopefully you'll be with us for that. Did get a little bit of SLU news today. This is great stuff. Senior guard Gibson Jimerson, junior center Robbie Avila, and senior guard Isaiah Swope all picking up honors from the Atlantic 10 Conference. Jimerson is named a first-team player. Avila was voted to the second team, and Swope landed on the all-conference third team. This is something that is voted on by the various head coaches. So three members of the team onto the league's postseason all-conference teams. Jimerson is also named to the all-academic team. And just, I mean, a guy who has put together as good of a career as just about anybody outside of just a handful. It is a legendary kind of career that Gibson Jimerson has put together at SLU. When you think about, he needs one more three-pointer to become the single-season leader at SLU. Already owns the school records in career points, career three-pointers, career field. So just all kinds of honors for him. Now, he's played a long time. He's taken advantage of extra years of eligibility and all that. But still, that doesn't take anything away from the kind of career that Gibson Jimerson has had. So congratulations to him, Robbie Avila, Isaiah Swope, for what they've been able to do this year. And they get honored, and rightfully so. And now we'll see what the Billikens can do in the conference tournament. See, they have shown the ability to be able to beat just about anybody in the league. They've also shown that they can suffer some losses to most teams in the league as well. If they put their best basketball on the floor consistently through the run of the A-10 tournament, they've got a puncher's chance in this thing, and it's going to be fun to see how it all plays out, and you'll be able to hear every moment of it right here on KMOX. That's going to do it for the program. Again, we've got Gas House Gang on the way next. Today's show features myself and Kevin Wheeler. I thought it was a really good show. You can listen for the next hour and judge for yourself, but I enjoyed the conversation and the different topics that we got into today, all Cardinals baseball. So myself, Kevin Wheeler, the Gas House Gang, that is on the way next after the 8 o'clock news. Thanks for being tuned in. Tomorrow, back with you. Only 1 hour tomorrow. We'll do 6 to 7, and then Jen Cease. I don't know if Nate Gatter is going to be in or not, but at least Jen Cease for sure. She is going to be in from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock for the City Spotlight, talking all things City SC soccer tomorrow. But I will have you for that first hour. Thanks for being tuned in. Have a wonderful night. Gas House Gang is next. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on KMOX.